Blog Talk Radio.
So welcome in. This is the V2V podcast where your voices are heard, your stories are told, and your hearts can begin to heal. And I'm your host, Dr. Marcy, America's voice for the voiceless. Good evening, everybody. We are in the final week of our Men's Month series, celebrating the voices, stories, and wisdom of men. And man, oh man, boy, oh boy, what a month it's been. I'm trying to actually see how I can squeeze in another Men's Month for fourth quarter, thinking maybe November, but we'll see. But that's my goal because, you know, we've discussed effective communication, we've unpacked trauma, we've talked about evolving and discovering your purpose. And last week, Dr. David Banks was on, we took a deep dive into the subject matter of submission, particularly submission in relationships and what the role that leadership plays in women trusting enough to submit and so forth, men being prepared to submit. And tonight we're going to talk about the value of connections, meaningful connections specifically, both in a personal perspective and from a professional perspective. So this, for all the people in the back, listen. Y'all sitting back there talking about what men don't do, how men don't talk and how men won't communicate and how men won't share, men won't express their feelings and men won't and men won't and men won't and men won't. But listen, this is what my great-grandmother used to say. Use a lie. Because, man, when I tell you these guys have come through, guys, this is our second Men's Month series, and they're communicating, they're sharing, they're doing all of the things that we as women post them up and say, like, fellas, y'all not doing this. You're not telling women how you feel. You're not sharing your experiences. You're not being vulnerable. And I just got to say, have you asked yourself, have you created a space for them to be open and vulnerable? Have you created a space where it's judgment-free? Are you willing to listen to understand and be, instead of listening for how you can respond or listening for how it affects you? Because they're doing it. They're sharing, they're talking, they're expressing. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked to my clients about, and I even had to remember myself, is that sometimes we forget that men have feelings. But that's really not on them as much as it is on us to be willing to. It's hard to hear sometimes a man that you care about be vulnerable, but I don't want to get off topic too much. If you guys have missed any of these episodes, I encourage you to go onto my website, 9seconds.org. It's the number 9, the word seconds.org, O-R-G, /V, the number 2, the letter V, as in voiceless, the number 2, victorious. Please go back and listen to these episodes, guys, because the fellas are sharing, and this is for men, this is for women. The conversations have been powerful. They've been impactful, so I encourage you to go back and listen to those. So to that point, each week when we do get together, I like to have healthy adult dialogues about a variety of critical life topics. And like I said, I've shared some of the things that me and the fellows have talked about this month. So personally, I don't feel like any subject is too taboo. I feel like you can talk about anything if you create a safe space and if you're open-minded enough and be willing enough to maybe change your perspective if it's necessary. Granted, occasionally it can get a little bit uncomfortable, but I feel like
that's even more reason to take part in the conversation if you feel like it's something that's going to make you uncomfortable, because if you can have the conversation in a way that is filled with transparency, vulnerability, it can be an elevated conversation, an elevated dialogue, and you can truly grow through that discomfort. So, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but go back, listen to these episodes. Get ready for tonight's show. My intention every week is that you will hear something that will move you, will motivate you, or challenge you to take some proactive and sustainable changes in your own life and relationships. So tonight's conversation is going to be perfect for that. It's right on point. And I always say that change can't happen around you until it occurs within you. And that's what Voiceless to Victorious is all about, is finding your voice again. So before each show, I always ask the God, use the show to have the conversations that need to be heard. I thank him for the voice, the platform, and the opportunity to become a conduit for healing, recovery, and change. And as a reminder, we are live on the air tonight, so the phone lines are open, and I welcome you to join us in the conversation. Feel free to share your story or ask a question. That number, if you want to call in, is 914-219-0880, and the phone lines will be open the entire show. Again, it's 914-219-0880. Tonight's guest is my sports battle buddy, kind of, so to speak. He's also a master connector, a power networker, and definitely makes meaningful connections. And I have my own testimony to his ability to be able to bring the right people into the room. So tonight's guest is Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr. And Dr. Leroy is the president and CEO of JNF Enterprises, which is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm that's located in Baltimore, Maryland. His mission is to assist entrepreneurs to grow their business and brand by using his Brand U development, 7 strategies for fundamental branding program, and other 21st century processes. He says that this program assists entrepreneurs and businesses to gain mainstream exposure by using 21st century techniques and tools. He's author of 10 books, 3 of which are part of his Building the 21st Century Company book series, The Customer is Not Always Right, Amen, Young and Gifted, and The New Generation of Entrepreneurship and the Art of Leadership. And he says his motto, which I loved this, so I wanted to make sure I did not leave this out. His motto is to build the impact, because when you build impact, you change the world. And I love that, and we're going to talk about that specifically. Dr. Leroy, go Steelers. What's up, my friend?
What's going on, Dr. Marcy? How are you? How are you this evening, lady? How you been?
I'm good. I was sick for a while, but I'm back on the on the road to recovery. Still got a naggy little cough, but you know, God is good, and we're moving forward.
So glad to hear you feeling better. Definitely glad to hear that you're feeling better. That's awesome. That's good. Good to hear.
Welcome to the show. You know, you and I have bantered back and forth online for it seems like forever, and I don't even remember how we initially got connected. But once you knew I was a Steelers fan, and I found out you were a Ravens fan, like, it's been on and popping ever since then.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, January 1st, 2023, you coming to our house, my friend.
Don't worry about that. We'll be. Is that the first time they play?
No, they play. I think the first week in December is the first game. But when y'all come to our house is January 1st,
gotcha.
And it's like just think, y'all are gonna be able to open up the year with a butt whooping. Like, it's gonna be so dope. I can't wait.
I'm sorry. Did y'all even report the training camp? Because I ain't heard nobody talk about the Steelers. I'm sorry. It's been Ravens kind of training camp and everything like that. I heard him say nothing about the Steelers. So are y'all, you know, did y'all report to training camp and everything yet? You know?
This is what AI taught us. This is what AI taught us. Practice, man. Practice. Oh man, you know I had, I'm starting shooting shots early.
Exactly.
Have to start shooting shots early. So, tell us, tell the audience, tell the listeners, tell me, because I like you only know, like you think you know people from their social media profiles and your engagement with them online and so forth and some of the things like we've connected on a few different projects, but. Tell us who you are, what you've been through. You know, like, I'm always amazed when people start sharing their stories and I find out, like, wow, like, I didn't know you've been through that. And then, like, because all you see is the finished product. We online, we see the highlight reels, but on V2V podcast, we get down to the cut room scraps. So share your story, my friend. The mic is all yours.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's, you know, when you just talked about what people share on social media or on, it's only what they want you to see. So it's not until you get into or you get to learn about people that you get to know and understand what their story is. And I'll remember this one time really quickly, and I'll start to talk about myself, tell you a little bit about who I am. But I remember I was working for this company some years ago. And they took us on. We worked in different divisions, so there were different sections that we worked in. And so my particular section, they took us on this day retreat, if you will. And at this day retreat, before we went on the day retreat, we had to fill out this this kind of a questionnaire to figure out if we were an A-type person. You know those things that they do to figure if you're an A-type person, B-type person, or C-type person. So we filled that out. I filled those out, and then we go on this day retreat. And we're at this day retreat. They took us to this night. I want to say it was like I want to say a clubhouse to a golf course it might have been, but it's really nice. Had food laid out for us. We spent the whole day, there. But we dove into the different answers that we gave for the questionnaire, and the facilitator he pulled out of us, and this is what I'll never forget it. He pulled out of us things that each of us would not know about each other, and we connected at such a level because you got to know things about somebody that you had no idea what they might have been, what they were going through, what they had gone through, why they were the type of person that they were. And it really opened my eyes to what you were just saying, how we don't really know people, you know, until you hear them tell their stories. Because that's in essence what we really did that day. We told our stories and we talked about who we were, how, you know, growing up, those things. We even talked about our work experiences, which, you know, kind of showed who we were, you know, at that particular time and everything like that. So I was thinking about that when you were talking about that, how how we know people or don't know people through, you know, social media and everything like that. But we really don't get to know the individuals until we hear some of their story. What's my story? Well, I'm just a young man from that grew up here in Baltimore, Maryland, who had parents who believed in him, who supported him, who've been there for him through life, and always wanted to make sure that I succeeded. Wanted to make sure that I did the things, that I acted right, did the right things. Came up the right way, had the right, you know, people around me, that I worked hard, had a great work ethic, even when I did not do, you know, well in particular something, that they were still there to support me and show me, hey, you know, if you got to get back up, you get back, you get knocked down, you get back up. You're not down, you get back up, and you work hard, and you do what you do. You build, you know, build a career. I had, you know, my father passed away back in 2012, but he was a phys ed teacher, women's basketball coach, track coach, head football coach, athletic team, part of track coach, lacrosse coach. He did it all. But he was an athlete himself, played football in college, high school and college, was an All-American. And my mom worked for Social Security for 46 years. So I gained my work ethic and the person that I became from both of them. They were separated, you know, since I was 4, divorced when I was 10. By the time I was 10, but grew up with both of them in my life. My dad, not as much as I wanted to have him in my life, as I believe a young man needs to have a dad, a father in his life, but still having him there the big parts of my life. There was a period where I didn't have a connection with him, and it was partially, I think, his doing, but it was also partially my doing. I felt like he had his family because he had remarried. He remarried and had 6 other children, and it was a thing where I felt like, hey, he's got his family over there, we're over here. And it'll just be what it's going to be. Once I got older, we established, kind of a stronger friendship and relationship and stuff like that. And, until he passed in 2012. But, that's the personal side of me, if you will. The business side of me, graduated from the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, Go Hawks. I know it's a little small town, and it's called Princess Anne, Maryland. It's literally one of those towns that has one traffic light. I lied to you that.
It has
one traffic light. It might have two by now, but it's been a minute since I've been down there. But it's Princess Anne, Maryland, and what it is, it's like 15 minutes outside of Salisbury, Maryland, down on the Eastern Shore. It's a HBCU. The most notable person, and you probably would know him, Art Shell. He played for the Raiders. He went there.
Mm-hmm,
he graduated
mm-hmm.
from there. Yeah, he graduated
wow.
from there. And several other athletes, several other athletes, too. They were back in, because I read my school's history, and they actually had a documentary that I looked up on. There were some very notable, back in the 1960s, Maryland University, which is what it was called back then. I mean, the football program was one of the, what was a top-notch program in college program. And they had some other notable players, but none that you will recognize, like Art Shell. I think most football, football people know the name Art Shell when you say
mm-hmm.
Hall of Famer, Raiders player, Raiders coach,
right.
And everything. So, but graduated from University of Maryland. I have a good degree in hotel restaurant management. That was what I graduated from. I had this big dream when I got out of college, and I got a position working for a hotel, but then I moved over to a brand new property that I opened. That was part of the opening management team out here in Columbia, Maryland. The hotel was from the ground up, but one of my closest friends now. We're still friends from back then when we opened that hotel, that particular hotel. But we had these grandiose ideas. We were gonna just tackle the hospitality industry, become these these great district managers and everything like that. but it didn't turn out. It's funny how you have this dream of how your life is going to turn out, and now that I'm 53, I can look back and be like, yeah, that looks nothing like what I thought it would be. You know what I mean? It looks nothing like it.
It does, but it doesn't. I'm gonna connect that dot here in a second because I just made a note about that. Right as you were saying it, but go ahead.
But wound up going into the hospitality industry, worked in the hotel side of it, not the restaurant side. Didn't care for the restaurant side. I never liked being. It wasn't something I liked. Restaurants wasn't something that I liked working. And I'm gonna tell you a funny story about my first job that I had, and it was just disastrous. It's crazy, but I had this dream of wanting to work in the hospitality industry. Worked in the industry for about a good 15 years or so, and I enjoyed the challenges that it gave you, but I also had the encounters of people not wanting to see you succeed when you are. When you are someone who doesn't, when you have your own mind and you think for yourself and you don't allow others to think for you. And that's always been me. And that's, in the corporate world, that doesn't bode well for everyone, So, I remember a buddy and I, his name is David. He and I became the GM and the assistant GM for the particular hotel that we were working at, extended stay hotel. And we were working together, and I knew that they didn't like us working together. Now, they put us together but didn't want us to succeed at being together.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember he and I were doing every bit of, we were doing about 70, 75 hours each a week. And
wow.
I was just like, dude, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for these folks. I'm like, because I corporate America isn't a place if I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. Always had that mindset of wanting to have my own. And sometimes you feel like, except most entrepreneurs, I promise you, if they've been in corporate America, they don't feel like they fit there. It's like, it's not where I belong. I should be somewhere else on my own, doing my own thing. And that's how I began to feel. I'm like, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not cut out for corporate America. I want something more. And that's what I did. I told him, I was like, I'm not killing myself for somebody else. If I'm going to kill myself for somebody, it's going to be for me. It's going to be my vision. It's going to be my, my business that I do. And wound up leaving there and working for another hotel and a property management company, after that. But while I was working for the property management company, I started my business back then because I was just like, I've got to have a plan for leaving, out of here because I want my own business. And I started asking myself, what did that look like? And so you're talking the early 2000s, going into it, I was like, well, what is it that, and even before the 2000s hit, I'd been in corporate America and I was just like, these people are running these businesses into the ground. There's no leadership. Leadership in this going into this 21st century is going to be disastrous. And, this is around the same time that everybody was talking about the Y2K and that, everything computer oriented was going to shut down because it was going to,
we thought the world was ending, honey.
Right. The world was going to end at 1,000 because it just wasn't ready for it. But, we all know that it was, and nothing happened as a result of that. Now you had several industries that that faltered because of it. You know, the dot-coms and the real estate industry and things like that that kind of fell, you know, had their bubble burst. But for the most part, but the computer systems as we knew them didn't crash and didn't do all of those things and stuff like that. So, you know, starting my business back then while still working, you know, my I can't call it a 9-to-5 because I didn't work 9-to-5, but working in the hospitality industry and the property management industry, and then saying, you know what, it's been I got the lessons that I needed to get from this, and I needed to literally be out on, you know, on my own. I need to start my business or grow my business even further. And stepping out and being afraid, of course, but, you know, but being hesitant, but saying, you know what, I still got to do this because if I don't, I'm going to be miserable. I literally, Marcy, I was literally working a job that I hated to wake up to go to. And yeah. I don't know if anybody else has felt like that, but that is the worst feeling that you could, to me, that you could have. You literally hate waking up because you have to, you know. It just is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Them Sunday night blues, and, child. Ooh,
yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you just, you know, you're like, and when you're in that type of space, you know it's not healthy. It's not mm-hmm. healthy from a mental standpoint. It's not healthy from a professional standpoint. And it's just not healthy. It's a toxic work environment for you and for the folks that you're working with. So, you know, those were the lessons that I pulled out of, you know, being in corporate America and everything like that. And those are the lessons, honestly, that I wanted people to be able to, leaders to be able to understand and not have to and not create. And for those that mm-hmm. maybe employees not to have to deal with, because if you create the right leadership and you create the right connections that we'll be talking about tonight, then those types of environments don't happen. Those types of environments are few and far between. You're going to have them. You're not going to be able to completely shut them out, but you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to minimize them, or you'll be able to understand and know how to handle them, hopefully, you know. So
right.
That's just a little bit about me.
No, I love it. I love it because and that's why I like to hear everybody's backstory, because it gives great context, and I always like right. to see how people started to so that I can understand where they are. And so one of the things when you were sharing your story and you were talking about you know, having, you know, the jobs in hospitality and how, you know, you had these certain visions for what it was going to look like all grown up, but you mm-hmm. said it doesn't look anything like that. And mm-hmm. and like I said, I made a note when you said it, because as soon as you said hospitality, well, you said restaurant management, I'm like, oh, that's hospitality. Hospitality mm-hmm. is about connections. It's about networking. It's about building relationships and formulating, you know, connections with different people and, you know, making sure you know, how do you have the right people in the room? How do you get your space booked? You know, also, I mean, you know the hospitality industry obviously better than I do, but that's very much, I think, foundationally a lot of the skills that make you such a great networker and such a great connector of people comes from a lot of that, you know, that background, it sounds like, because mm-hmm. there's very much a connection between the two.
Yeah, and the what it is I started my first position out of college was as a assistant executive housekeeper, and I've been blessed to have some work under some really good people, and the young lady that I worked for, who was the executive housekeeper, her name was Joan Fry. Never forget her. She was an awesome person because she had worked her way up. She was actually started off at the particular hotel I think it was a DoubleTree at the time, or Embassy Suites, I think it was at the time. But she had worked away from being a housekeeper to being the executive housekeeper. So she had a way of connecting with me, and we had this relationship. Plus the fact that the one thing that I loved about her was she did not like being off weekends. And for anybody that's in the hospitality industry, you know, working the front desk, working in housekeeping, Saturdays and Sundays were golden. They were gold. If you got off on those on the weekends, you were, you know, it was great. But she liked working weekends, believe it or not. So my first job working in the hospitality industry literally was working Monday through Friday in housekeeping. Which literally does not happen. But but the relationship that she and I had, it was really cool. She gave me the things that, you know, we worked really well together. So there was a connection there. And even when I moved over to the front office, and I was working at the front desk as assistant front office manager. Same thing. My manager there. He and I had a good connection. You know, we worked well together. And then each property that I worked at, the people that I was around, I didn't have an issue with at all. They were great. I learned from them. I learned the industry by being around them. When I went to go work for the Marriott was my first job because I worked at the front desk. I was a front desk clerk there and then extended, then was the Embassy Suites. But working at the front desk of Marriott, Marriott is the gold standard when it comes to the hospitality industry. When you think of how things should be done from a business perspective, it's Marriott. Marriott is like comparable to what Chick-fil-A is. When it comes to customer service, they're kind of like equals when it comes to business. You look at those two as the blueprint for how you should treat your employees, how you treat your customers and clients, and how you operate your business. They are truly the gold standard. But Marriott taught me working there was you take care of your guests. That means you know everything about them. You know what their tendencies are. That means if they, you know, we would have guests that like to stay in particular rooms when they came. And if they were a Marriott rewards member, if they were a Marriott rewards member, we had their information. So when they were, if they had a reservation, when that reservation was made and they were coming to stay at our particular hotel, we knew what room that they were, that we were going to more than likely put them in. We knew if there was anything that they needed extra, we went above and beyond to make sure that they were taken care of. That's making connections with people. Understanding who they are, like you were talking about my backstory. Marriott was known for wanting to know people's backstory. What do they like to have or do every time that they come to a particular hotel? That way, they'll come back over and over and over again because of the service that they receive from the people there. And we'll be like, oh, hi, so, Ms. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, I see you back again, or, you know, your room is all ready. You know, there you go. You know, they called down and said anything that they were in need of, we made sure that we tried to, and you know, kind of know what it was that they needed or if they were going to be needing something, because we got to know them as someone who came there quite regularly. So we knew the kind of things that they would be doing and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Right. So when I was thinking about tonight's show, I was thinking about collaboration. I was thinking about, and you know, we call it the value in connection, because what I really want people to understand is about how valuable and all of the different ways that you can use connecting with people. You can use networking, you can use building,
and to be able to mine that value, because when I look on social media, I see a lot of commentary about, you know, haters this and hater that, and, you know, this person's trying to steal my idea, or this person, you know, whatever. And so it just seems like there's a lot of dissension, and people are feeling, or they're making it appear as if they're afraid to connect. They're afraid of collaboration. Everybody wants to have their own this or their own that, or they've got to be, you know, they've got to be the face on the label. And I know in your bio you talk about brand. So I want to talk a little bit about how people can kind of get beyond that kind of mindset where if I shine a light on you, I'm going to be in the dark type of thing. And because one of the things that you do very well is you're fantastic about highlighting other people. I don't think I've ever went on your page or watched one of your podcasts or anything where you're not, you know, celebrating other people. And so can you talk to that point specifically about what it means when you're elevating other people and sharing, like how that affects connection and then what that does?
Yeah, it's a powerful thing because we can't be, like you were saying, we can't be afraid to celebrate others or to be able to collaborate with others or even share the spotlight. Just because you're doing well and it doesn't mean that I can't do well as well also. You know, and I think too many people are afraid that, like you were saying, oh, they're going to look better than me. They're going to take clients or customers, potential customers, away from me if I work with them, which is, you know, I've always had this philosophy. I don't worry about what other people do or other people doing something better than me, because I have an understanding that I have a way of doing things, and the way that I do something is not the way that Dr. Marcy is going to do something. We could do the exact same thing, but it's going to be different because you have a way of that you approach stuff, and I have a way of approaching stuff. So if you're constantly worrying about somebody, what somebody else is doing, or how somebody else is going to outshine you, you've taken your concentration off of you. So when it comes to people, I love to see people doing well. I love seeing people shine. I'm like, cool. I'm like that. And we have to be willing to support each other, because I would want somebody to support me if I'm doing well, you know, because that's the only way that we, you know, to me that's what friends do. That's what, you know, people who care about you do. They support you, and when you're doing well, they support you when something positive happens to you. Oh, man, that's great. That's awesome. You know, I like the way that you did that. You know, you really shined in doing that. You know, but a lot, unfortunately, and I think part of the reason why folks don't have gotten to be hesitant or don't want to share information, or they don't want to kind of share the spotlight, is because let's be real, some people have been hurt in business and in their personal lives by other people. Somebody, you know, they've had a business partner that might have done them wrong, or they've had somebody that took advantage of them in some kind of way. Just think about the stories. Think about, I don't know if you saw the movie The Founder, with Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
It's the story of Ray Kroc. Now, most people think that Ray Kroc was the owner and the creator of McDonald's, but he wasn't. But watching that story about the McDonald's brothers, if you watch the story, the reason that they were hesitant about growing McDonald's and moving to that next level that Ray Kroc wanted to go to with them was because they had talked about it. They had been hurt and bit their prior business partner or somebody that they had done business with had done them wrong. And the one brother was like, well, you remember what happened with, you know, with the last person. So he was hesitant about doing it again because he didn't want to go through those feelings that they went through or having to rebuild again, you know, from, you know, from whatever point that they were, you know, to where they were, to where they had gotten, where they had their one restaurant and everything like that. I mean, so I think a lot of times people are hesitant these days because of what they've experienced, the bad things that they've experienced, and they keep that baggage with them. You know, just like in our personal lives, people do the same thing. They keep that baggage moving into the next one, into the next relationship, into the next relationship, and it affects people wanting to partner with people. It damages people wanting to collaborate with other people. I was watching this YouTube. It's a show called Earn Your Leisure, but they had Steve Harvey on there, right? And he was talking about his business experience and how he got into the tax trouble that he got into. His accountant was stealing money from him. And he didn't know, he didn't realize it until it was like 7 years after this dude had been doing what he was doing. And he had wound up, he wasn't paying his taxes. He wasn't paying Steve's taxes. Now, I got my thing about, you know, folks not paying attention to their business side of the entertainment and everything like that. But he wound up, that situation put him into a very bad tax situation where he owed the IRS, I think, millions of dollars. So he had to get on his grind. He had to get on his grind, and he talked about why he was doing every gig that he could do so that he could pay those back taxes. So that experience, I'm quite sure, has an effect on the way that Steve Harvey does business today. Who he collaborates with, who he partners with. So those, I think that's the hesitancy sometimes, a lot of times, when it comes to entrepreneurs and who they partner with or who they collaborate with. You know, I think that's a big factor in it.
So one of the things that you talk about in your bio and a specialty in your business when we talk about branding, right? And so I sometimes feel – so how can – trying to figure out how I don't want to ask this question, what order. So let's talk real briefly about branding because I want to talk – I want to go from talking about branding into positioning and about how then that builds into being able to connect and shine lights and so forth. So personal brand, business brand. Let's talk about what that looks like. Like, how do you show up in, you know, whether it's on social media, whether it's in person when you're in events and things like that. Talk to us about what is that brand you and why is branding important?
Well, brand you is a concept that I came up with or what I thought about when I thought about my company, when I thought about who is or what is JNF Enterprises. You know, when people think of JNF Enterprises, what is it that I want them to think about? And I learned this working in corporate America and looking at the different companies that I worked for. And two in particular, really three, Marriott was one. But two was Extended Stay, and then three was Men's Warehouse. They were three different companies, but they had a kind of common thread of how they branded themselves and how they did business. And I tell you, and here's the similarities. Here's the branding. Marriott is known for customer service. But in addition to that, Marriott had different types of hotels that addressed different target markets. They have the Marriott regular hotel. They have the Marriott Courtyard, and they have the Marriott Suites, I think it is. But they had three kinds of, or actually more than just three kinds of hotels that addressed those particular target markets that they were going after. Extended Stay had the same thing. Extended Stay owned the Extended Stay brand, or branch of the brand, was for, it had the same thing. They had a they had the Extended Stay. They had the Extended Plus, I think was the name of it. And then there was one, and I can't think of the name of it, that was kind of the next tier down. But each of these companies that I'm talking about have like three tiers. I call them three tiers of their businesses. And Men's Warehouse had three tiers as well. It had the Men's Warehouse brand, K&G brand, and then they had the Tuxedo brand. So, but each of them addressed within their businesses, they addressed different, they had different clientele. They had different target markets. And I looked at that. I'm like, man, they have one plate, you know, they have one company that has these three types of brands or people that they go after. It's the same company, but they go after different, you know, different target markets within themselves. I'm like, man, okay, this is a unique concept. If I go to a Marriott, okay, do I want to stay in just the regular hotel? Am I a corporate person that wants to stay in the Courtyard? I know I'm going to be staying for a while. You know, I might be staying, you know, at a particular, let's say, destination for like a week or 5 days or something like that. The other brand, which is more of a leisure one. Same thing with Extended Stay. The extended stay portion, that's for long-term guests. That was for people that might be there for 30 days. You might be there for 60 days. We had people that were literally living in the hotel. That was where they were living because they were either, you know, they might have been moving somewhere and they were waiting. We had some people that were waiting for a house to be built. So an extended stay gave them the kind of living arrangements of a home, because you had a full-size refrigerator, you had a stove, you had a nice-sized kitchen in it and everything. So it was the accommodations of a home, but, you know, and you didn't have to necessarily eat out all the time at the regular hotel. You didn't have anything. You could eat at the restaurant, but, you know, who wants to eat out all the time? So the stay was that. And it had the depending on, if you wanted to be in a upper, you know, a more upper scale type of hotel, they had that for you. If you had more moderate type of income, then you might stay at the one that was lower than the extended stay. So they had the lower end, middle, and then the upper end. Both of those, Marriott was the same way. And then even with K&G or Men's Warehouse, they had the lower end brand, which was the K&G brand. You had the Men's Warehouse, which was the mid-level. And now, actually, Men's Warehouse bought Joseph A. Banks. So that was the upper scale of, you know, of clientele that they had. So having those three types of versions of a brand, you know, was something that I looked at. I'm like, man, okay. And what do you think about when you think about Marriott? You think about, you know, customer service. When you think about extended stay, you're thinking about long-term stays. When you think about Men's Warehouse, you're thinking about, you know, a corporate America. So they had different images that they had. So I was like, well, what do I want J&F to look like? What do I want people to think about when they think about J&F? And the three things that came out of that for me was to enlighten, to empower, and to impact. Everything that my company does, it has to have those three elements to it, because I wanted everyone, when they thought about J&F Enterprises, they knew that it was going to enlighten them, it was going to empower them, and it was going to impact them. It was going to teach them something. It was going to equip them with something, and then it was going to impact them to want to do something. So that's what branding is to me, where you create this culture. And each of those companies I just named have a culture. They have a culture within them. Walmart has a culture within them. Chick-fil-A has a culture within itself. So branding is about the culture that you build, too. That's what the brand you is. It's what's the culture that you build, and what are the three foundational things that people think about when they think about you. And I ask my clients, when we're building their brand, that's the foundational thing that we build off of. What are the three things, when you think about your vision of your business and your brand, what are the three things that you want somebody, your perfect client, to think about when they think about your business? What is it that everybody's going to come and think about that you're going to be known for? That's what branding is. That's what the brand new culture is. Uh-oh, can you hear me?
Oh, sorry about that. I had to unmute because I was coughing. But so this is good, because one of the things that entrepreneurs struggle with, and I think this maybe plays into them being reluctant to connect and collaborate, is they struggle with, and sometimes they even just fall flat on their face as far as personal brand and business brand. So you did a great job of explaining, like, the business branding side of it, but when you're an entrepreneur and you are the face of your business, how do you mirror up your face of your business with your face? So you said for your business, enlighten, empower, and impact. So how does Dr. Leroy brand look in comparison to J&F Enterprises?
Honestly, they're intertwined. They're the same. I mean, when people think of me, I want them to think about that. Those three things that I just gave you, to enlighten, empower, and to impact. When they see me, when they think of Dr. Leroy, they know he's going to give them something that's going to teach them something. He's going to give them something that's going to hopefully equip them with something, which means he's going to hopefully learn something from them, from me, and then impact them to want to do something, to take action, to implement something. So they are directly connected and correlate to each other. There may be people that can separate themselves from their brand, you know, that type of thing. But when I think of someone who is the face of their particular their business, think of the person that comes to mind is Steve Jobs. When you think about Apple and you think about Steve Jobs, can you separate the two?
Yeah, I mean, forever he'll be when you think of Apple, that's who you'll think about. Regardless of who else is running the company, you never think about who's running it now.
Right, exactly. He was the brand, and he was not only the face of the brand, he was Apple Computer. You know, there should be a direct connection and correlation between you and your business and your brand. Because if you say, well, that's not me, then it becomes, okay, then what do people, they're not thinking of you, your business, if when they see you, they're thinking about something totally different to me. You know, I think it becomes difficult to separate the two. And that's how I thought of myself in that way was, you know, I'm going to be enlightening, empowering, impacting. How do I do that? How am I those three things? And one of the things that I say really quick, one of the things that I tell people, my intention is to, my purpose every year is to make people better by the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. And the way that I do that is to enlighten, empower, and impact.
That's dope.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, I think that entrepreneurs, because when you see, so you can see them building like this business brand, right? And then mm-hmm. you look at some of the stuff that they say and some of the stuff that they post, and you're like,
right.
There's no way in the whole entire world of whatever I would ever do business with you based off of this personal, like, right. And it has, you might be the best of the best of the best at what you do and what product you offer. You may have the best widget in the world, but if I look
yep.
at you from a personal perspective and you have a trash personality, or you're disrespectful to people, or, you know, how you're conducting yourself is in inappropriate ways, or the things you say are hurtful to other people,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do business with you.
Yeah.
And so yep. when we're trying to collaborate and we're trying to make these connections, how do we know? Because when I look at some of the stuff that you do, and because you have a number of different podcasts, and everything that you do is about spotlighting and shining light on other people and their businesses and their accomplishments and things that they're doing. But how do you know that this particular connection is going to be quality? Because we're talking about meaningful connections. So not just about how many people you have, how many likes you have. That doesn't
right.
convert, and it doesn't build relationships, and it's not true connections. So how do you pick and say, you know what? Yeah, this is somebody that I want to learn more about, and this is somebody that I want to spotlight. What do you look for?
Well, for the podcast that I do, it's actually there's certain criteria that I'm looking for, because I'm looking for a specific I'll give you one, the Author Showcase podcast. I'm looking for certain authors, certain kinds of authors. You know, so it's not just arbitrarily any author that's out there. I'm looking for specific types of authors that want to be highlighted, want to be spotlighted. And they have a, like you were talking about with me, they have a story to tell. And like I tell them before we do the podcast and everything like that, I said I want it to be where people go beyond the book, where we're giving
right.
people something beyond the book. And the only way that we get beyond the book is by them telling their story. And really, I boiled it down to their mission, their message, the movement, and the motivation. I call them the four M's, and I look at that. What's your message? You know, is are you building a movement? Are you, you know, what motivates you, and what will motivate someone else to read the book? And then we'll say mission. What's the mission behind what it is that you're doing? Do you have a mission behind what you're doing? You know, why did you write the book? You know, was it just to write a book, or was there a reason to write the book? And it's worked out. I tell each of them after we have those conversations, man, I'm like, I get more out of it. Maybe sometimes, I don't know if they do, but because I enjoy them telling
mm-hmm.
us about them, because it creates a connection. And we may, well, hopefully I'll mention it here, but we may talk a little bit more about it too. I love the topic that you gave, because I recently just finished this book by John Maxwell called Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. It was one of the best
right.
books that I've read this year. I lie to you not. But he talked about being purposeful in your connections. How do you connect
right.
with somebody beyond, you know, just beyond what it is, you know, that purpose, or just working with them? How do you connect with someone beyond just having, like, the conversation we're having tonight? How do you connect with someone like that? How is the
mm-hmm.
audience that we're talking to going to connect to us with us having this conversation? Are they going to be able to connect to us? So it's about being purposeful in, you know, in making those connections, and being, you know, just as strategic as well too about it, you know.
And I think there's some similarities and there's some parallels between when we're looking at it from, you know, because I always say life, relationships, and business, right?
those three things are always and forever connected. If, you know, you're trying to accomplish something and any one of those three things is out of whack, like you need to have harmony between life, relationship, and business. And so if any one of those three things is out of whack, then you're gonna struggle in the other two areas until you get that one back in some sense of alignment. And so when we're talking about, and this is not necessarily for you, but more for the listeners to understand, that yes, we're talking about business, but this goes for your relationships too. This goes for how you show up in the world. So it's about how you're living, how you're relating, and then how are you building your business? Because all of this is about, at the end of the day, and I think you said it, it's about relationships. And what does that, you know, what does that look like? How do I decide, you know, if it's a conversation I want to have? I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. We were talking about, he was trying to kind of decide if he wanted to coach with me. And, you know, I was just sharing a little bit about, he was like, you're hard, you know, you're hard to sometimes get a hold of. And I said, that's somewhat by design, from the standpoint of, I mean, at my age, I don't want to have meaningless conversations. I don't, and not from, it's not from a point of arrogance, and that's what I want people to understand. It's about truly connecting with people who you can offer value to and who can reciprocate some sort of value to you, and not from a monetary standpoint. Sometimes it's spiritually, sometimes it's emotionally. Sometimes you can just learn. Like, I love talking to people who I can learn from, you know, and that's what I love so much about doing this show, is being able to, yes, give other people a space and a platform to share their stories, but I get so much, and my cup gets refilled every Tuesday through these conversations, because while you're pouring into the audience, you're pouring into me. And so some, it's kind of selfish sometimes, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, I feel like when I think about collaborations and connections and all of those things, I think that's where, and that's where I want to get to with things. But then how do you, because not everybody thinks like that. So you and I can have this conversation, because we think very similar about the value of connection and reciprocation and things like that. And there's no, you and I both write books. You and I both publish books. You and, like, we do a lot of similar and same things, but as you pointed out earlier, how you do it is different than how I'm going to do it. How you communicate is going to be different than how I communicate it. And the band that's meant for your sound is going to resonate with you. They're not going to resonate with me.
Right.
And I think that's when people kind of get it twisted up and think, well, if we both do the same thing, then it's got to be him or me.
Right.
No, it can be both of us. And, like, if we're both really terrific at what we do, do you think the voice amplifies, but it doesn't drown you or I out, right? So, for you, excuse me, when you're looking at, you know, building these, because I can't even remember how you and I initially got connected, and I might have been through, like, maybe on an event Dr. Will was hosting, a virtual event or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was something like that, yeah.
Okay, and so I can tell you for sure I wasn't the person who reached out, because I don't. And I'm terrible at it. And that's one of the reasons why I want to have this conversation, right? Because I just get caught up in what I'm doing, and I don't necessarily pay attention. But then when somebody reaches out to me, I'm always open to it. So how do you make that shift? How does somebody make that shift to become a better connector? Like, I'm a great communicator, but I'm not necessarily the best person, like I said, to be the one who initiates the reach out, or to be able to identify, like, hey, that's a person that I want to learn more about. How did you do that? How do you do that? What's the secret sauce?
That was so not me, because anybody that knows me and has bit, you know, that I'm really, really close to. I am I'm such an introvert. When I tell people I'm quiet and keep to myself, people don't believe it. Like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm the last person that would want to be taking pictures. I mean, and it was something that I had to become comfortable with. And as I grew into my business, and as I said, and honestly, it started with the books, because there was no way that I was going to be able to be an author and to be able to have to speak to people and not be able to connect with people. I had to begin to be able to come out of that comfort zone of not really, and I still don't say a whole lot to people, but I came to understand, honestly, that if my business was going to grow, I was going to have to be in spaces where I was going to have to talk to people. I was going to have to be comfortable with talking to people about me. And that's the last thing I want to be doing is talking about myself. I'm one of those people that I do not like talking about myself. I'm like, no, you know. It's just me, and I still, you know, and I'll do it, you know, when I have to, and do it to talk about the things that I'm trying to do, because I know that that's how people will get to know me. And here's the thing. People buy things from people who they feel comfortable with. It's the way, and people do business with people who they feel comfortable with. So the more I became comfortable with that, the more I understood that I was going to have to talk more. I was going to have to be open about who, you know, just about who I was and the business that I'm in. And, you know, and I still keep my, you know, keep my personal life, and those kind of things. But when it comes to connecting with people, I know that I have to be observant. I have to be, you know, I have to pay attention to what people say. So I have to listen. And I've learned that when I listen for those things that we may have in common. And you draw from that. You begin to connect and you begin to communicate with people, talk to people, when you can find something in common that you and them are a part of, or you of them, that can connect to, that they can see, oh, wow, you know, you write books? Oh, okay, well, I write books too. Well, you know, what kind of, you know, genre are you in? And you build the conversations off of that. You build the relationships off of that. And then, honestly, that's how I started and became, you know, able to do what it is that I do. It just became being a listener, and being willing to be open with people about, you know, about my business, because I can't have a business and not talk about it. I'm sorry, you can't.
Right.
You can't, right. You know, and that's what I tell my author clients, and I've heard some of them say, well, I don't like to talk to people. I said, okay. I said, but you can't have a book and not talk. It doesn't work like that. That's just, you have a book, you have to be able to talk about it. And you have to, you're going to be in places where you have to, you know, you're going to have to discuss who you are. And the more the more successful you become, the more people want to know about you, the more people want to know about your business, how you do what you do, you know, and having, being more comfortable with those conversations, you know, and honestly, that's the only way that I've done it. And I continue to work on it too, because there's certain places that I'm in, I was the guy in college that went to the parties and stood on the wall. That was me. I didn't get on dance floor and dance, none of that stuff. And even when I was in corporate America, and even now, with, you know, with my business. I've become more comfortable with coming out of that shell, but also understanding that in order for people to know who my, what my brand is and my business, I have to be willing to talk about it. You know, I mean, the only thing I say, tell people is the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it. You know,
it's amazing to me. You said a couple of things. You said one that people, this is what one of the things that I just loved, but you said people want to do business with people, and I thought for sure you were going to say no, like, and trust. And you said people that they feel comfortable with. And I was like, yes, because they don't even care if they know you. They don't have time to like you, and they may or may not trust you, but if they feel comfortable with you, then they're more willing to engage and to be accepting of what it is that you're talking about. But the other thing you said is to listen for things that you have in common. And it's so funny. Mm-hmm. I do ride share sometimes just to kind of get me away from the computer because I can just get really non-people centered and just focus on all the stuff that I got going on. And so I do ride share sometimes, especially in the mornings or like sometimes on like Friday or Saturday evenings, right? And the one thing that I've learned about that or through that and what I love so much about doing it and why I think I keep doing it is you never know who's getting in and you never know what you're going to learn. And so give you a perfect example. And it also teaches you not to be judgmental. So when we're talking about making connections, it's amazing the kind of people that you can find that you have a connection with and through that conversation. But if you do have to listen for what is a point of commonality. And so I'll give you an example. The other day, I picked up this kid, young man, whatever. It's real scruffy looking, wasn't in the best part of town. Judgy me was like, he looked like he might be on something. Like, is he clean? Like, I just wasn't sure, right? Like, okay. So he gets in the car, and I don't know how we struck up the conversation. I maybe asked him, you know, obviously, how's your day going, whatever. And then that kind of opens the door to, like, basically, are they going to be talkative or are they not going to be talkative? Long story short, so I'm getting better. I'm trying to get better at, if you saw my post, I'm trying to get better at not telling these really long stories. But so the point of it was that once we started talking, I found out that he was a musician and that he had sold an album or whatever. And so we connected on, we're both creators, right? So we've got that creative thing. But this is what I learned. He was telling me how he was able, he said he just released his album or song or single or whatever, but he was already making money off of it. And I was like, really, that's so great. You know, what, you know, how did you find such quick success? And he started telling me about how he was able to sell NFTs, which is kind of like a Bitcoin type of thing. Like, I still don't know anything about this stuff. So don't nobody call me and ask me, like, hey, what was that thing? Because I don't know the answers, but I'm going to tell you why this was cool. So he's telling me how once he found out, like, he could sell his album in these NFTs. So basically, if somebody believed in his project or his product, then they could buy into it and then they could resell it. So basically, they do it like an investment. So they would buy into his album, and hopefully then he's going to, you know, be more successful. It's going to gain in value, then they can sell it. But then, so he's telling me how these NFTs work. So I said, can you do that with books? He's like, you can do it with anything. And so he's telling me about how you do it with artwork, and some lady was doing cooking classes. Right. And with the music, he said, you know, the cool thing about it is if you do an album, you sell one album for $10.
He said, but if you do it on NFTs, I can sell each song on that album for $10.
Ooh,
and so now this $10, this $10 album, let's say it has 10 songs on it, and you're going to sell it with 10 songs for $10 if you sell it as an album. But if you sell the NFTs, which lets them then download the music, then you can essentially sell that same album but break it up into 10 different songs at $10 a piece, and you now have made $100 off of that one album instead of 10.
Just $10. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And so, but again, if I had never listened for the connection, exactly what you're saying, I would have never learned this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I can now take that, once I have some free time, to figure out how do I attach these NFTs, how do I promote it. And then he said he didn't have a Twitter, and so he started a brand new Twitter, and he's already got like 2,500 followers. I'm like, yo, I've had a Twitter for like 8 years, and I've got like 300 people who don't
how do you do that?
Right. But he did it because it was in the NFT community. And so it's a whole different community of people that he's now communicating with, who would have never, ever just looked up his music. They would have never looked for his music. But because he's in this NFT community, then he posted up there, and not a lot of people are doing it with music. And so he kind of stands out in that field now because there's not a lot of people using it for that. I was like, that is so dope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I would have just judged him, if I would have been like, he looks sketchy, so I'm not even going to talk to him. But you listen for that. And so that's why I say, and why we called this, there's value in connection. So this kid in a 20-minute ride was able to educate me, who's not tech savvy, know nothing about like Bitcoins and NFTs, and I don't know nothing about none of that. But he was able to articulate it in a way that I could conceptually understand it and be able to then say, I understand now how I can use that technology to benefit me and my business.
Yep.
And that's value.
Awesome. Yeah.
So super dope. Like I said, I still don't really know what those things are, but I am going to make time to figure it out because I think it'll be a great benefit for me and for my clients to understand that.
Yeah.
Because then you may think about what we do with ebooks. I mean, you're a publisher, so think about what we do with ebooks.
You could use that concept for the ebooks. Absolutely.
You take your book, you put it on an ebook, and then you create an NFT for it. And the thing with the NFTs too, like it might just be like the cover design. So you could do the same book with multiple covers and sell them as different NFTs. Boom, 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 boom.
Crazy.
Crazy. Absolutely.
All from this scraggly kid, not from the best part of town, and literally 15 minutes was the conversation. Game changer. That's value and connection.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we have about 10 minutes left. I want people to find out, how do they find you? What kind of stuff do you do? What kind of stuff you got going on? If they want to work with you, how do they do that?
Sure, they can connect with me. The easiest way is I'll give the link tree. It's http://... linktr.ee/JNF Enterprises. That'll take you into everything that I have, because I'm on the website is on there, which is JNFEnterprises.com. The Facebook page, either my name, Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr., or my business page, JNF Enterprises. Instagram, Dr. LJ Speaks. Twitter is at JNF Enterprises 1, or at Circle of Impact. And then LinkedIn is Dr. Leroy McKenzie. Jr., my name. YouTube is jnfenterprises.com. JNF Enterprises, I'm sorry. those are the different ways that they can connect with me, or directly with my email, which is jnfenterprisesllc@gmail.com, or what am I missing? The phone number, 443-762-2324. That'll connect you with me directly as well.
So what kind of stuff you got going on right now? Like, what's up in Dr. Leroy's world?
Well, let's see. As far as my assignment this year, and I messed up, Doc. I messed up. I was supposed to be doing four books this year, but like what happened last year as well too, is I was so busy working on my clients' books that I didn't take the time to do my books. So, and it's kind of the same thing has happened a little bit this year, but I'm going to be purposeful in getting at least two of my books that I'm working on out this year, by the end of this year, before the end of this year. So that'll be like one project or a personal project. Now, if someone is looking to work with me from a business, if it's an entrepreneur that wants to work with me, and they're looking to either start a business or grow their business, then they certainly want to connect with me, because I have a number of products and services that I offer as a business consultant, and I work with people from a branding and marketing perspective mainly. But if it's somebody that's looking to, you know, have a business plan done, have a press created, all of those particular types of services I offer as well. Same thing for authors. If they're looking to, I have three packages, depending on where they are. If they're looking, I do editing or have editing services. I do marketing and branding services. And then the full publishing, I'm kind of moving away from that. I do, I should say, publishing consulting, which is where I'll walk you through the process, but I'm not necessarily going to do the whole thing. I'll be working on it somewhat, but I kind of like doing it as a consultant, where I can walk you through that process and give you the tools that you need in order to be able to do it. And so every now and again, if a project that someone comes to me with, if it hits me as far as you know, doing the full publishing, then I certainly would do that. And because that was, you know, that was certainly how I got started, and I had, you know, people who assisted me in being able to put my project together to be able to understand. And I'm talking anywhere from that, like I said, the editing all the way to the printing of the project, and everything like that. So those are the couple things that I have. Every Tuesday, I'm on a podcast, Good Morning to the Leader in You. Matter of fact, Doc, I got to have you on that show too, please. It's a little early. That might be a little early for you though too, because we do it 9:30 in the morning on Tuesday, from 9:30 to 10:30. It's an hour, but I know you
just got to wait till spring when y'all spring forward.
Right. That's an early, but I do that myself and a business partner, one of my business partners. We do that every Tuesday morning, just to give encouragement, enlightenment, and we bring people on that are in the community, entrepreneurs that are in the community, doing some great things in the community and for the community. So I do that every week. And then on Clubhouse, I have a co-host, Bankrupt-Proof Your Biz room in Clubhouse, and we have conversations, and we bring people in about how to bankrupt-proof your business, how to protect your assets. As Danya Zimmerman, who is the creator and host of the show, she talks about it's about protecting your assets. What are the things that we need to do as entrepreneurs to protect our intellectual property, our businesses, having the proper insurances that you need. What is it that you know, having the proper paperwork that you need, the processes that you need to have, the systems that you need to have in place in order to be able to make sure that your business is running most effectively, you know. So those are the things that I do, you know, got going on right now and are, you know, and are working on too as well.
Good stuff. Awesome. Just like me, lots of free time, right?
Right.
Just sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for football season.
Yeah, you
Sorry.
Know. But the funny thing is, that's what most clients think that you're doing, sitting around waiting for their phone call. Like, what do
I know.
That
yeah.
They really do. Like, no, I was not just sitting around. Oh, I'm so glad you called.
Too funny. So, well, Doc, I thank you so much for being on. I thank you for having this conversation with me about the value of connections and, you know, lots of things that you shared about lessons that you learned in hospitality. And one of the things that, that stood out to me was when you were talking about the different hotels and the different things that they're known for and the different tiers that they have. And you think about San Diego is a great example of this. They have an area called Hotel Circle. And there is within, I want to say, a 2 mile, probably maybe a mile radius. It might just be a mile. There's probably 15 to 20 hotels. And so when we're talking about connections and collaborations, like, we have to not be afraid that our brand won't stand up. And so when you know and you're clear, like you said, like you're going to empower, you're going to enlighten, right? Like, you know that's what you do. You know that's good at. That's what your jam is. And so then you don't have to be afraid to connect and shine the light on other people. So I thank you so much for that. Appreciate you being on. Let me know about your show if I got to get up early. No, I'm actually up that early. I just don't be engaging on online too much that early, but let me know. I'm always game for it. So that is our show for tonight, guys. Dr. Leroy McKenzie Jr. I will post his link online with the replay. If you guys are not already a member of the Voiceless to Victorious group on Facebook, access to the link and the replay will be on my page. I'm sure Dr. Leroy will have it on his, and it will also be in the group, so you can find it there. And just as a reminder, guys, if you're listening and you're like, you know, maybe something we said tonight sparks a thought, or it maybe reminds you of a story that you have, or you finally feel like, you know what, people can get on here every single week and they talk about their stories and they're vulnerable and they're transparent and they're sharing. And if you're ready to tell your story, like, I would love to have you on as a guest. If you go to 9seconds.org, it's the number 9seconds.org /V2V. There's a form on there that you can fill out if you want to be a guest. It's the same form that you would use if you just have a show idea, you have a question, anything like that. So I would love to have you guys, you know, submit your story ideas. I love hearing the stories. So, and then again, if you miss any of the episodes all year long, they're also on the 9seconds.org website. So that's it for tonight, guys. Every week I say that survival is a responsibility, but so is success, and sustainable life change is well within your reach. So that's it for tonight. In the meantime and in between times, guys, this is Dr. Marcy, America's voice for the voiceless, signing off and wishing you all health, safety, and success until we link up again next week here on the V2V podcast. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Doc.
All right.